studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Have the authority to carry out this military action without specific congressional authorization. I know that the country will be stronger if we take this course, and our actions will be even more effective.
Well, apparently, Mr. Obama, the big mouth in the White House, as I have lovingly dubbed him, doesn't need
lovingly.
Lovingly doesn't need to do that because, as of about 13 minutes ago. According to Fox News, Senate panel votes to authorize Syria strike.
He was banking on that because I'm sure if voted to authorize it, he would have done it anyway.
Well, it is within the Constitution that he can do that, and then it happens every time that a president will send troops overseas, and then we hear Congress going, "But please declare the War Powers Act so we have a say in this."
Well. He did give them an opportunity to have a say, but I just think it's beyond reproach. Well, of course, I believe that he's beyond reproach. So, he's just weird.
Well, what makes me really nervous is that, like in the Bush era, we've done this before. Well, we have weapons of mass destruction, and our intelligence, constantly confirm that it's over there, and we get over there, we do our thing, and we get over there and go, okay, excuse me, sir, have you seen the weapons of mass destruction?
Well, I have to say that's not being fair, that's not even being reality, because there were many countries involved in that. All of the countries independently said that there were weapons of mass destruction. I mean, either we can't depend on anybody, or we have a major problem with the fact that if we say something, everybody agrees. And that, I think, is the biggest problem. I think it's about time we shut up, we sit back, and wait for the rest of the world to vote on something first for a change. I mean, there's a point where being first is very destructive, I think, to us and everyone else.
Well, you could be right. I'm just trying to pull up some news here from from overseas, from the UK, and no matter what I do, it comes up blank.
The UK has been blown off the world.
It could be. Who knows?
No. Well, there's a lot of blowing to do to get that off the face of the map. It's a small country, but it's bigger than that. Actually, the UK, United Kingdom, is not a small country. It's many countries. England might be a small country, but the UK is many, many countries all over the world. You look at Canada. How big is Canada? Canada is bigger than England. Just by itself.
Yeah. Well, it finally just came up, so. Okay, cancel that conspiracy. Speaking of conspiracy, by the way, we need to have a conspiracy by letting people know how they can come in and share their opinion.
Well, that's really very simple. I keep telling you this, and it's about time that we actually have the number posted on every refrigerator in the world, because we can be heard worldwide. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number I'm talking about. That's the number you can use to call us, to get on the line, to tell us what you want us to know, or to talk to us on the air. Now, there are other ways of doing things that you can attract our attention. What are those?
Well, you can also, by the way, send us an email at talk@caribbeanradio.com. You can join us right now by several ways, by first joining us in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You can also listen to the program live by dialing 646-721-9887. And if you decide that you would like to join the conversation, just push the number 1 on your keypad, and it'll come up on my board, and I will go, area code so-and-so, welcome to the program.
Cowabunga. That's so exciting.
Yes. And again, as always, we invite you, if there's a topic that you want to talk about that we're not talking about, give us a call anyways, because we get some pretty good callers here, and a lot of times we will change directions, and sometimes we'll even do it on our own.
Well, amazingly enough, a lot of times we get a hold of a caller who's persuasive enough to change our mind, and that's not easy to do.
That's right. And then there's things that, we'll talk about anything. We've been known to do it.
Yeah, really, really. Well, you know, I did what, just a quick little thing. No, never mind. Well, I'll put that in later. Yeah. So what are we talking about now?
Well, I just, as I'm looking at the news, because like I said at the onset of the program, that literally about 13 minutes before showtime, the Senate voted to approve the Syrian strike. Another little interesting thing, again, this is from the BBC News, and I know that in a lot of, because I know people from overseas, and a lot of them don't really feel favorably about us, but this is kind of embarrassing. Headlines from the BBC, McCain caught playing phone game at Senate hearing. U.S. Senator John McCain has admitted playing a game on his iPhone during congressional hearing on Syria.
Well, I can see that. Now, to a certain extent, some of the stuff they say is interesting.
It's boring.
Most of it is not interesting. And so John McCain, I think that's kind of bad, because supposedly he's looked up to, and I myself, to be honest with you, look up to him, but a lot of people do, and so maybe it's kind of bad that he's playing games. But
in fact, here's a quote from him, and I don't blame him as far as this goes, because if you ever tried to watch C-SPAN and watch it all the way through, you need a life. But here's a quote from him. He says, as much as I like to always listen in apt attention constantly to remarks of my colleagues over a 3.5-hour period, occasionally I get a little bored and resorted to poker.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, the fact that things go so slow, they all have to go through a moderator, and they talk back and forth. I do watch C-SPAN. I do watch some of these things that are going on. Yesterday, I watched this, CNN and Fox both had it on. But I find it interesting enough to watch myself, and to see what they're going to do. Now, you know, we say that Obama has won the backing of the Congress to do his, what they're calling a limited strike. What is a limited strike? You know?
Not just that, but, okay, it's just like in a game of poker. You know, you make your best plans, sometimes a little bluffing, but there are times when, things backfire on you. I mean, we could be thinking that, well, we're going to go in, we're going to, like, say, a limited strategic strike, boom, boom, we're done, have a nice day, you know, sorry about blowing up your building. And, you know, that could turn around and they could declare all-out war on us. And
well, this business of saying when no boots on the ground, that's, I think, is totally absurd. If we want to, okay, I understand that we, by going in by air, we can blow up their airports and stop their air. But the thing is, all of their stuff has been moved. All of their airplanes have been put somewhere else. For example, most have been put in Iraq, where they're close, but far enough away that nothing's going to happen to them. So they're not there anymore. A lot of various different things, and including even paperwork now. There's plenty of time for all of their paperwork, everything to be moved. Everything of any importance is gone. What are we accomplishing?
That's the next question I was going to ask, is that, like in the same eight-minute speech that I played the snippet of, you know, Obama mentions that his advisor says we can do it today, tomorrow, next week, next month. It's like, okay, what are we going to accomplish? Like you said, they've already moved it. The world already knows we're a paper tiger.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. So
basically, we go ahead and
put things in terms like that. It depends on who you're talking to. To me, Paper Tiger is the name of a movie about a little kid. And that's what comes into my mind when you say something like that. I understand what you're saying in this particular case. I don't believe we are. And that's the thing. We've got to... President Obama made the remark that we've got to do something about it because we said something or he made a statement about putting a red line lined on first, and then he used this term himself. But the thing is, you don't have to back it up. You can sit back and just let it happen. It's who knows where we should go? I don't think I don't think we're letting the right person make the decisions, period. That's what I'm saying. We're depending on a president who doesn't know what he's doing. And I know he's made a couple of comments in this last 2 days that make sense, but there's all of the other comments that don't. So.
Right.
I find it real hard to accept his decisions.
Well, if anybody's interested, it was a 10-7 vote in favor of going ahead.
Well, even that to me is I think bad because it should be a lot more divided than that. It should be a lot more not divided, but. Undivided, I think it should have to vote. Everybody has to vote. I think everyone should vote for it. And if they don't vote for it, then it doesn't pass. I mean, it has to be unanimous, in my opinion, because if we're talking about something that could start a war, and this could, you just can't do that just at the drop of a hat. And the thing is, as I say, we're already too late.
Right.
We're already too late. We've opened it up. We've let the Congress talk about it. We've let people vote on it. We've let everybody make up their mind. And meanwhile, he's moved everything. I mean, just moved everything away. Nothing is still there. Probably even the chemical weapons are gone.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's just like... Well, like you say, it's like pre-announcing, you know, you take something and you go and hide it. You know, we're looking for it. Well, okay, well, I wasn't going to hide it before, but now that you announce that you're looking for it, I'm going to hide it now.
Absolutely, absolutely, everything. And I'm sure that even if he wasn't too sure about it before, he's completely certain what he's going to do now. And that's just, you know, he won't admit to anything. He won't do anything. And he still, yes, if he's moved all his airplanes, for example, to Iran, well, he still has access to them. We don't. We do, I suppose, if we want to start a war with Iran, too. I mean, it just puts us in a bad position no matter what we do, and him in a good position no matter what they do.
Exactly. And the sad thing about it is that... like the president was saying, is that if he has the authorization to act without Congress, which is actually true. The War Powers Act of 1973 gives him that authority. However, he has 60 days from the time that he goes ahead and sends troops over to declare a war and get Congress. Well, only Congress, can, of course, can declare war, but, you know, to bring Congress into it. But
Actually, only they can declare war,
right.
Declare war, but he can do it before they declare it.
Yeah, and how many times have we heard in previous administrations that Congress is begging, Mr. President, please make a decision. We want to have Congress involved. You know, Congress shouldn't be begging.
Well, I see again. I watched that thing all day yesterday. Today's session was a secret session, so it was non-television, and I couldn't watch it. But I watched it all day yesterday, and nothing was said. I mean, they debated a bunch of stuff, and they even made mention of the fact, well, we can't say anything about that, or we can't do anything about that, or we can't, because we got to wait for the secret session. Well, that's the point. The whole thing should have been in secret. The whole thing should have absolutely been a secret. It should not be open to the public, because that's the way we notify everybody. I mean, how can you can't declare a war by just openly inviting people in. I mean, would you like to come to my war and get bombed? That's just sort of stupid. They're going to say no.
Well, here's a quote here. The War Powers Resolution requires the President to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action and forbids armed forces from remaining more than 60 days with a further 30-day withdrawal period without an authorization of the use of military force or declaration of war. But, you know, in this day and age, you know, they're saying,
okay, what's the 30 days? I mean, you're going to go in and you're going to bomb use an airstrike to just wipe out every airport in the country. So that's going to take 2 hours.
Well, yeah, you beat me to the punch, because back in 1973, when this was declared, that for, you know, 48 hours, it takes a while to get over there. Now in 48 seconds, you can do a lot of damage.
Well, not only that, but we have four huge tankers sitting on the border out there. Everybody is there.
Right.
Our people are there. I mean, you've got, what did they say? There's, I don't remember the number. It seems to me like there were 140 different, 140 people, 140 airplanes that we could get in the air in a matter of seconds, because they're on the air, they're on the aircraft carriers that are sitting out there and have been sitting out there for days. And maybe even months. I don't know how long it is. But they've been sitting out there for a long time, and every time they show a picture or show a map of the area, we're seeing them sit there. I mean, prepared for this for a long time. Why are we not doing it, or why are we bothering to do it now? Because it's, again, once, as far as I can see, we've got these four aircraft carriers sitting there with all this firepower that, there's a certain amount of firepower that the aircraft carriers have, firepower that the airplanes that are on those aircraft carriers have. I'm sure that from the point that those aircraft carriers, all four, lined up out there, that Syria, they were prepared to change things. They were prepared to remove their airplanes from the airports and so on and so forth. They didn't wait till now to do it. It's been going on for a while. I'm quite positive of that. I wouldn't wait.
Yeah, I don't know. It's they say it's a sticky wicket, but, you know, again, you have to look. Well, like Parliament overseas was saying, because about going along with it, and they asked the question, okay, we go do this, to what means, to what ends, to the means, you know, what we go over there and boom, boom, what does it accomplish?
Well, did they answer it?
Well, that's one of the reasons why they voted not to join the U.S. in doing this.
Yeah, that's the thing. We most countries decided not to join the U.S. in doing this because that we can carry it out unilaterally, as they say. We can do it all by ourselves, all by our little loony. But the thing is it worth doing? I mean, when you to the enemy so far ahead of time, how much you're going to do, you've lost the war.
Right.
I mean, you haven't accomplished a thing. Now, I mean, you can go in and wipe out their airports, but they're just going to use Iranian airports or whatever. Because, you know, in fact, they've got all of, at this particular point, they would have most likely all of Russia who would be with them and help them out too. I mean, at this particular point, Russia's kind of, I think, on the fence about the whole thing. But it wouldn't take much to tip it over. Of course, we're having the G20 summit in Russia this very day, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Already, Mr. Putin is a little disturbed at Obama, and it'll be interesting to see what happens at the G20 summit. What happened last time? Nothing much, but they keep having the summits anyway, and trying to learn something.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if there's should we even bother with these things, these summits and these parliament is a different thing. That's parliament; they can do it internally and decide what they want to do. Different. Well, the French Parliament does about the same thing, I was going to say. But we do things so openly. Well, I was just thinking that we do things so openly that we tell everybody and we give everybody an advance notice of what we're going to do. But then, when I think about it, the British Parliament was on television. They told everybody about it. So I guess that doesn't make any difference either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a real sad thing that we advance so far ahead of time.
That's just like giving out our phone number to ahead of time so people can go ahead and call and have their say with the program.
Well, that's a little different story because we're inviting them to call 646-721-9887. That would be a nice thing to do and see, tell us how stupid we're being about the whole thing. You know, because I'm ready to accept donation from our listeners as well as people who agree with us, but I would like to have both.
Exactly. And if there's also a topic, again, that you would like us to talk about that we're not talking about, send us an email, talk@kabn.com.
Well, that's one thing I would like. I'll pick now to do it. This guy, this character that held the three ladies in his house and tortured them for 10 years, a decade, has committed suicide, and we put him in jail. He hung himself we should have probably paid a little more attention to what he was doing in there, in that cell. Putting him into sentencing him to life plus 1,000 years. Plus 1,000 years in prison. I don't expect to live much over 1,000 years, so it doesn't going to make much difference to me. But, I mean, that would be, you know, if he wanted to be killed, why not just let him hang him? I mean, he could have asked to be hung as well, but he just did it himself. Seems to me like that would be harder, I would think.
Well, it saved money.
Well, yeah, actually, yes, it did. Actually, as a matter of fact, lots and lots of money, because putting a person in jail, he wasn't that old. That costs money to do that.
Well, in 1,000 years, I mean, I know why they do 1,000-year sentence. you know, but if you're going to have, I don't know, it's kind of.
Well, the idea was the fact that he wouldn't be eligible for parole, period. And if the thing is, by doing that and by sentencing him to that, he has no possible reason to live. He has no possible way he could ever see the end of it.
Right.
So I wouldn't, you know, I see no problem with him. I wouldn't commit suicide because that's just not my makeup. I there's always something I can do. You know, if I was put in jail forever, I could. Usually they have libraries and you can read every book, but there's something you can do anyway. Run of the mouth, I could sit there and talk forever, even if it's myself.
Yes, and we often do.
Yes, as a matter of fact. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. We'll put that away and get rid of it.
Exactly.
And
I was just kind of looking at two different headlines. Of course, my computer's responding slow since we're live. And
well, the other headline that's of interest, of course, is the Microsoft Nokia deal. Now, Microsoft just bought Nokia. And that's important. That's something that will affect almost everybody. For one thing, it's kind of interesting. Still, you know, we knew they were a big company, but they still had $7.2 billion with a B dollars to buy Nokia with. That's a lot of money. Just have at hand to go buy, go pick up a little company, Nokia. Wow. But the thing is, that's interesting because Microsoft's CEO was about to step down anyway, and that puts them in the position to run the. But Microsoft, I didn't know that they only had a 3.3% market share in the telephone business. The Microsoft, you don't think of them as making telephones, but I'm sure that's going to change.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're one of the three richest people in the world, you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'm giving away lots of money now. You got more money than you know what to do with, literally, so you don't care.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I will have to admit that the Microsoft founders have been doing very well with their money, and they've been doing a lot of really good things with their money. But then when you've got that much money, you got plenty of things you can do with it.
That's true. I'd like to be in that regard. I'd like to be in the fact that, you know, I need tires today, and I don't have to budget that 3 months ahead.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's so many people like us are budgeting things ahead because without doing that, you don't get it. And if you don't get it, things like insurance, that's pretty important stuff. And when you've got to budget things like that, that's pretty sad.
Of course, what's really, really kind of sad, too, I mean, we got this thing going on in Syria, and most people are going, who cares? However, I'll bet you if you took a survey, majority of people will know all about the new host that's coming on to America's Got Talent, because that's what the focus is.
Well, that's possible. It's the using that as an example is that there's so many different programs. It's not just America's Got Talent, you have so many people that are involved in being host because there's like six programs now that are all the same thing, the same idea, and that are going.
Right, but the point is that as far as people's interest goes, you know, a lot of people are interested. Memorial Day, you know, has recently happened. I mean, came and went. You know, we used to think.
Well, the only thing I find problem with that is that it's something that happens every year, and by happening every year, it gets very old. I mean, you don't see over and over and over again doing exactly the same thing. You don't pay any attention to it anymore. You know, see, Christmas is different. Christmas happens every year. But on Christmas, you do different things. You buy different gifts. You do different things. You do different things. Even Thanksgiving is a little different because you eat different things or go different places. But a lot of these holidays that are on that happen over and over again, you just forget about them because they're nothing but certain people are involved because they think, you know, certain holidays involve certain people, and they're the only ones that really care. The rest of us don't.
It's just like, forget about Syria. George Zimmerman was just pulled over for doing 60 in a 45-mile-hour zone.
Put him back in jail.
Headlines.
That's what I said.
For what?
If he's doing 60 in a 40-mile zone.
You're going to put him in jail for
going? Well, he's been in jail a lot of time anyway, so might as well just put him back in jail. He's obviously – I'm being facetious, but, I mean, you know, you're right. People don't care.
Yeah. Because it's back to that thing about, okay, how does this affect me?
I don't know. It's just so many things affect you. For example, Android. Android, there's a new version operating system, and it's named KitKat. Now, see, that does affect a lot of people because, first of all, KitKats affect a lot of people. A lot of people. The operating system itself. Did you know what Froyo is?
Froyo.
Different. That's another version of an Android, the old version. They're Eclair, Froyo, Gingerbread, Jelly Bean. I didn't know what Froyo was until I looked it up. Do you have any idea?
I have not a clue.
Frozen yogurt. But is one of all the crazy things. But I had to look it up to find out what it means. I mean, it gets to another thing. We can go off on tangents here. I'll quickly go on it and then go down. Froyo is figure out the abbreviation, but it still means nothing. So,
I agree. Is like, like I think my version of Android is ice cream sandwich, but I don't know. All I know is this version, I think 2.5 or 2.8, and I like. I mean, here's my rant and rave. My turn. Harry Potter, for example, they have five or six different. But it called sequels to the Harry Potter thing, and I haven't watched all of them yet. But the only way that I can tell, really, is by the age of the actor.
Okay.
I like Harry Potter. Okay, it could be blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 sequel two. That way it'd be really easy for me to go, oh, hey, this is number one, this is the first one, followed by the second one, followed by the third one.
That's and I agree with you there. I don't agree with you a lot in that instance, but I agree with you there. In the case, if they had the name of the movie, which is, you know, Harry Potter or Frozen in Time or something like that,
right,
and then put a one or two or three or four, so you know what, because I have the same problem. So many of these, my God, nowadays some of these movies have 20 different versions of, for God's sakes. They have 20 different movies about the same thing. At least a lot of times they're now naming them differently because they've got too many times you think it's the wrong movie.
Right.
And so you've got to have a way of knowing which one it is. And so they either have to give it a different name or have to – that's a cross-reference then to what the movie is about, but it still gives it a different name. So number one, number two, number three, number four. If you just have the one, two, three, four, then everything in the world is two, three, or four, and you'd have no idea of knowing what one. But it's got to have a name and a number.
Well, yeah, because otherwise, okay, what came first, ice cream, Froyo, or Kit Kat?
That's right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, and like from what you're saying, there's several of them in between.
Exactly. And I get confused too easily.
Actually, I don't really care.
You don't get confused. You don't care.
That's right. The thing is, who cares what version of the program you're using? If it does what you want it to do, then
that's like I'm using Windows 3.1.
You are?
Not really.
My God. Is that ever old?
But here's the thing. There was never a Windows 3.2 or not that I'm aware of. And
yes, there was.
Was there a 3.2? Yeah, way back in.
Yeah, way back in whenever.
Way back when.
That's, you know, it's surprising. At least they went out and started naming them different names. But if it was doing what you wanted to do, then there's no reason why you should change.
Exactly.
There's no reason why you should use something different. The difference with this particular example is the fact that if you were back with Windows 3.1, it wouldn't do half of the things you would like to do because the companies that build the programs have changed them enough that that you get lost. You have to have the new additions, the new changes in the program in order for it to operate. So there is, that's the difference. Is you don't need to know what number you're using. I've spent a lot of time saying that Microsoft has this tendency not to work, but when you get down to it, it really does. It does work.
Except for when you really need it, like when you're live on the program and you click on this little tab here and nothing happens and nothing happens and nothing happens. And you can't reboot the computer because that's the one that the main control board is on right now. And so, you know, and then you end up going on air and apologizing because your damn computer ain't working.
That's why I have the actual operating system control program on one computer, and then I use the other computer to look around at different things. And that way, if it screws up, I don't care.
See what I'm doing, but it is kind of nice to have it. And speaking of, because I do have, you know, I am in the main studio here and do have a little bit more monitors than Cliff does. I can bring in more stuff. And one thing that's kind of interesting, I want to get back to kind of, on last week's program, we kind of harped on President Obama. Well, we've been harping on him a lot. But Obamacare and this day-to-day, Bill Clinton wore his Secretary of Explaining Stuff hat Wednesday to defend Obama's health care. This means we have to do it all together. Well, you know, I kind of agree with you, former Mr. President. And in fact, the healthcare, I read an article the other day, which unfortunately I don't have bookmarked because I had to reboot the computer, was also talking about how larger companies, even ones that have been providing really good insurance, are thinking about not providing any insurance because the law says you have to have it or pay a penalty because of the penalties that they would have to pay would cost them more than the actual insurance.
One of the things that's happening right now is millions and millions of people now have part-time jobs because if they had full-time jobs, they'd have to be required to give them insurance. And part-time, and this is changing our entire society.
Well, and top that off is that if you're a small company and you're expanding and you reach that 50th employee,
mm-hmm.
the healthcare law changes for you.
Well, yeah, again, I'm sure what's going to happen is that at 49 people, if there's that I mean, there are ways around it, and people are going to find the ways around it. You know, we are doing more harm with some of these things than we are doing good.
I agree. I mean, on one respect, it's a good idea. Yes, everybody should have insurance. But I think, all right, I'm going to try and maybe defend things a little bit. Despite the fact that what Obama said in the 2008 debate, that he was going to make things more transparent, the Obamacare, 1,000 pages, was really kind of pushed through, and it didn't help the fact that, you know, we had people that didn't, because it was so big, didn't read it or didn't understand it or for whatever reason. And if they would have actually have taken the time, because, you know, and debated it and gone through it, then maybe we wouldn't be having all these issues right now. Maybe we would have a really good workable system that wouldn't be bankrupting, in my opinion, the United States. You know, but then the question asked is, why did they have to have this arbitrary deadline to pass it?
Well, that's a good question. I want to go back a step further and say, why do these documents have to be so big?
Right.
There's, you know, we've got, what, 400 and, I don't know, however many people in the Congress. We could hire maybe 20 people, if it took that many,
right,
to sit there and condense and combine things and figure out a better way to say things so that I understand partly why it's so big. It's because it has to be said in legalese. But we need to get smart and realize that there's a point where legalese does nothing but confuse us. And consequently, we need to change things and make it easier to understand what's being said in these. Because if you could read the entire 2,000 pages, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
Chances are, you know, and even if you're an attorney or a senator or whatever you are, you're not going to really understand it. That's why, you know, I think what's her name said you have to pass the bill to understand the bill. In other words, you actually have to be using the bill and find out, and then see what happens. Then is you let the courts figure it out. Once you have something, if the bill says there's something you're doing wrong, you have to turn it over to lawyers to sit there and figure it out and find out what you did wrong, if you did something wrong. And so that's to explain the bill or parts of the bill as they come up. And that's why we need to change things right away. So we need to change things so that you can understand them from the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, like they say, keep it simple.
Well, that can be a problem too.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the way our system works, and whatever happened to the line item veto argument?
That's been a long time since I heard about that.
Because, you know, of course, then again, I mean, it sounds like even Obama doesn't understand what's in it, in this thing. And there's a lot of stuff when you go through it and look at it, because I got it up on the screen right now. There's a lot of things in here that just does not have anything to do with health care.
Well, that's the other thing. That's where I think the line item veto should have come in, because when you make a bill like this and you figure on getting it passed, people want to put things in there that have nothing to do with what you're doing.
Right.
And they constantly, you know, a bill that would be 3 pages ends up being 20 pages because of all of the things that they've stuck in there that really have nothing to do with what you're doing.
Exactly. You know, it's called piggybacking, and that's something that, you know, well, you'd think would be illegal, but that's how they
that's another thing. Why isn't it illegal? I mean, so many people say, we've debated this and debated this and debated this, and yet we still let it happen.
Exactly.
How do we make people act on something? How they can act, but telling them to act on something, make a decision, make it legitimate.
Well, it's just like, as I'm just kind of perusing over this thing, I'm on page 4 of the directory on this thing, and I'm still going. And I'm reading some of the special stuff here, like there's special rules related to Indians, special rules for reimbursement, special rules, and of course, you know, people that are not required to. Required to sign up for health care and you know, will not be penalized for not having it like the rest of us, for one.
Well, I see, in my opinion, this whole thing should be scuttled, and we should do it like the British are doing it, because we're going to end up paying for it anyway, so we may as well just make it transparent. I think that's the neat word of the day, and just make it happen. In other words, every year, are paying for that too.
Yep.
So it's just a part of your life, but you don't have to worry about whether you want it or whether you don't want it. That doesn't mean we couldn't have insurance companies still in existence, and they could be adding to what you're getting free, but at least we should allow the basics of coverage to be a part of what we give you.
Right. I mean, there's even a section in here, section 5309, why there's a section 5309. And by the way, I'm on page 7 of the directory now. loan repayment and scholarship programs. It's like, why don't we talk about that in the healthcare?
Like I said, that's because there's got to have some place to put it. And I think we should, I was going to say we should just make sure that everything has its own page, everything has its own bill, or everything is on its own. But people have got to make a decision, and nobody does it. Nobody wants to make a decision on anything anymore. So they just stick everything together, and if they think it's going to pass, I wonder how many pages of that bill have nothing to do with the bill.
Well, as I'm going through here, there's quite a bit, and I mean, I'm on page 12 now of the directory.
Yeah, that's ridiculous that the directory has to be as big as I think the whole bill should be.
No, I'm already up to section 10,326.
Yeah. And the thing is, we know that Obama didn't do this. You know, who put this together? Who made up their mind? How many people were involved, and why?
Well, I'm looking at the act itself. Before there was some provisions that were removed, of course, and one of them was actually when you're in the hospital to better keep track of you of implanting a chip. You hear about the controversy. That is a conspiracy, but no, that was actually in the bill.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, how much of a problem is that? You know, putting a chip in there, what does that accomplish? I mean, we know where you are at all times, 24 hours a day. Well,
I don't want a chip in me. If I'm in the hospital and you want to put a band on my wrist, that has a chip in it, so you can do, like you say, tracking in the hospital. That's great, because when I'm done in the hospital, I can take a pair of scissors and cut that off. And I'm done. I don't have a chip in me.
Well, cut your wrist off.
I like my wrist.
Well, that's true. There's no reason anything has to be made permanent. And there's nothing that needs to be made permanent in your body. Of course, I've had surgery. And consequently, there are extra things in my body, some of them metallic. There.
You never know. So, by the way, I finally got to the end of the directory, by the way, on page 12. And here's an example. Section 10,907, excise tax on indoor tanning services in lieu of elective cosmetic medical procedures.
Well, see, boy.
And inflation adjustment of limitation on health flexible spending arrangements under cafeteria plans, which I'm assuming that their idea of cafeteria is not food, but something else.
Why do you decide that?
Well, I'm assuming, but who knows? They could actually be talking about cafeteria.
I wouldn't be ready to assume anything, especially with our government.
Modification of an annual fee on medical device manufacturers and importers. Modification to additional. Well, just like here in Lane County, by the way, folks, the but ultimately, where does that money come from?
Comes from us, no matter what.
Exactly.
Well, that one
of our expenses.
One of the things I wanted to and I forgot to look it up, is there was some information about your beloved skate park that building. You're building.
Let me add to that too. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just that we're finding out it's the biggest skate park possibly in the world. Has more elaborate. It's under an overpass, so it's covered, which is I didn't know that before. I don't know where it is. I don't live in your delightful city, so I don't know much about it. But it's just kind of interesting that they're still talking about building it, but still talking about they're talking about people coming from all over the world to skate in this skate park. I find. That hard to believe.
Well, to kind of explain or expand on what Cliff is talking about, in Eugene, which, by the way, has over a $5 million deficit, and according to the city charter, you're not allowed to have a deficit, has decided that we need to take one of our parks downtown and build a huge skateboard park. And currently, the project, I think, is a couple million dollars. They don't have enough money to build it. They don't have enough money to run it, and yet they're hoping that once the thing is going, it's going to be, like Cliff just said, it's going to attract people from all over the United States who are going to hop on their airplanes and take their RVs down to go skate in a circle in our skateboard park.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge, but basically, you know, and BMX bikes are not allowed on, of course, and rollerblades and everything else, but basically you go to skateboard park and you go up, down, and hopefully you don't kill yourself. You know, that's the other thing, too. I haven't heard schools have been taking away exercise equipment or playground equipment because they're afraid of liability. All right, you've got a skateboard park made out of cement that is designed for skateboarders to go airborne.
True.
What about liability?
See, then I could go into that too, because our problem with liability is we shouldn't have anywhere near that. This business of, you know, if you're going to go out and then you should be allowed to do that, but. It shouldn't be any way you can hold the city or the skate park or whomever involved reliable or responsible, rather. Right. And that's just no way you can do that. But they do, and that's our litigious society.
That's right. That's just like on the same thing about. Okay, now Cliff and I have agreed to disagree on this thing about how I feel. art, and because I'm poor, Cliff's poor, and yes, we like entertainment, but we also are smart enough to know that, do I want food on the table, or do I want to go to a movie tonight, and, you know, it's kind of one of those type of things. But in addition to the city of Eugene spending money that they don't have, they're also spending about $7,000 to go around and have an artist paint the gray boxes that house the traffic control systems throughout the city and put artwork on it because they feel it's drab.
That's cute.
Yes.
I find nothing wrong with I agree with you because, you know, I would, if you're going to paint them, and you're going to have to paint them, you know, whether you paint them gray, all gray, or blue or black or whatever color, it isn't going to cost much more if you paint them different colors and if you actually put art on them. Now, if you're paying the artist significant amounts of money to do that, then that's a different story.
That's what they're paying artists to do. They're actually paying an artist to go around and paint little images or whatever on these things so it looks pretty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I think that's superfluous. It's not necessary. It's spending money we don't have, but then we do that. That's the whole reason that our...
Well, okay, here's my thinking, because the city council has actually come out and said, well, you know, it makes Eugene more memorable. Oh, so the pretty little bridge, or the fact you had to get your front end aligned because you're dodging the potholes because they don't maintain the streets?
Really? I think that the artwork that's adorns the city should be allowed, but I don't think we should pay for it. I'm sure there are artists who would like to put their work out there for everybody to see that would be doing it for free. And unless we can get it for free or very close to it, it should not be possible.
I mean, there are some private businesses, even in town here, that, and I'm surprised that the city hasn't complained about the sign code. They went ahead and painted murals on the side of buildings. In fact, there's even one in Cottage Grove, I think Cliff's aware of that. And it looks great. It actually spruces the place up. But if a private company wants to, on their own dollars, to do that, and of course it goes along with city code, et cetera, problem with that. But for it to come out of the public coffers, especially in a recession, I'm going, you know, we can't afford out of jails because we can't afford the beds, but yet we can always come up with money for little side projects.
Now you got me off on another one too, beds. We have way too many people in jail for any reason. We have way too many people that are in jail. We have way too many jails. Do you realize that we have more people in jail in this country than all other countries combined? And that's not a thing I want to be known for or to be aware of. And I believe that it's because we put people in jail for nothing. Nothing. I mean, we've got facilities for, you know, buy these stupid little ankle bracelets and say, okay, don't put them in jail. Make them responsible for where they are in 24 hours a day, but let them work and continue to be productive. And for that matter, make them work.
Right.
If they would be put in jail, then make a job for them and use them to do something else. You know, the old days of...
Well, there actually is technology that's been used in one of either been the ankle bracelets or the implants for gang members. I believe California has used this, that if the person goes into an area that's known to be of gangs, then the cops will go arrest him because he's banned from that area, and that's the way they're monitored. But I don't know, there are other alternatives. Or what we can do is, hey, I know, why don't we take an island and just send in everybody over there? Oh, wait, we did that. It's called Australia.
Well, look how that worked out. It came out fine.
It did.
But we'd have too many people to fit on the island. We've got millions of people in jail, and we're not getting anything for it.
Actually, we already do have an island that has some weird people on it, and it's called the D.C.
Yeah, Manhattan. But we really need to make a different idea. Make the unused people
the unused
profitable again. I mean, See, we're not doing anything with them. We're just spending money on them. They should be making us money, not spending money, and not taking money. So
I know. Why don't we send them to Syria? That could be a surgical strike. Hey, we'll send them movies.
Unfortunately, it's too easy for them to get away. They know how to get back.
Yes. Do one of those deals that we'll give over and hey, it works in the movies, you know.
No, I wouldn't give them a full pardon, period. It's just one of the things. It's just by not putting people in jail who don't need to be in jail. We put so many people in jail who don't need to be in jail that it's not even funny. And consequently, we could probably at least cut our jail population in half by not putting
people that are up there in D.C., speaking of, who right now are immune to any type of prosecution, as long as they're in office, that do illegal acts and also come up with these laws that only apply to us.
Well, see, I still feel that that's actually illegal anyway. A law that doesn't apply to absolutely everybody is not a legal possibility in our country. And so we should do something. See, again, it all goes back to us.
Yeah.
We as the population, we as the populace, $250 million people are controlled by 3,000 people. Period.
We let them, but you know, yeah. there is an outcry starting, and I think that's why. The snippet that I played from the speech is the first time I heard President Obama mention or referred to Congress, and I hope they were listening to this part, where he's referring to them as the people's representatives. Well, Overpass.org and other people are becoming more and more visible, more than just the Tea Parties, you know, which are racist. If Obama would have just gone out without Congress's approval and did another executive order and going, I'm going to go over to Syria because I believe in my heart, or I have these people sitting on the sidelines will probably come forward, and because there's already talk about wanting to impeach him and get rid of him. And
yeah, there's a whole organization behind that, finally. But the thing is, they've waited so long. The biggest reason that Obama has decided to include Congress in his decision-making process, or supposedly decision-making, is because he's through. He's done. He's only got a little time left to go. And he's trying very hard to win a place in everybody's heart so that he goes down as a good guy instead of, well, not a good guy. And he's well on his way of going down as a not good guy at this particular point. So he's trying to fix that, and that's why he's doing it. I don't think for a minute that if the Congress had gone the other way, had decided not to authorize him doing anything, that he would have done it. He would have done what he wanted to and will do what he wants to anyway. So,
well, that brings up a point. Like I said, the headlines today, you know, Senate panel backs the use of force against Syria. And then on the same day, we got Clinton coming out trying to explain Obamacare. It's like, okay, is that kind of...
Which Clinton?
Bill Clinton. Coming out, you know, I mean, the government's been known for doing the magic trick, you know, look over here while I'm doing something over here. And is that kind of what's going on? I mean, why today, Mr. Clinton, are you coming out with the headline, you know, people more concerned about Syria than worrying about Obamacare, at least this week?
I don't have an answer. I tell you. We've go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say too is that, you know, Mr. Clinton, I mean, your wife is no longer Secretary of State, and you. You can, but go away. Go retire. Go into retirement. Go enjoy. Go sell some books.
Well, who would you consider worse, Obama or Clinton?
Is that my only choice?
Yep.
Well, the only thing that Clinton really did is that he did get the deficit down.
Okay, I disagree with you. He didn't do it.
But on the other hand, you know, the respect for the office of the President of the United States was tarnished by just like the office is tarnished by the current president, who maybe I'm trying to think of the right word, is not acting presidential. In other words, like the George Zimmerman thing or the big mouth in the White House that ruined somebody's life for something that should have been a simple case. Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. It's like you're there to do a job for 4 years. Just behave yourself for 4 years. When you're done, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Nobody will bother you.
See, I believe that I would rather have Clinton in office because Clinton at least allowed other people to make some decisions, allowed other people to have ideas. And if he didn't know what he's doing, perhaps, and the problem with the president that we have now is he thinks he knows it all.
Right. And take that point further, which I will agree with you on this. At least Clinton would stay and answer questions. Mr. Obama, more times than not, will come out for a press release and turn around and walk away.
Yeah, he doesn't even have talks with the press very often.
Well, on the snippet that I get, I watch the video, and as soon as he's done, turn around, walks away, ignores everybody. You know, the reporters are.
That's because that's not a question and answer period with the press. You're right, and because he doesn't want to answer the questions, he wants to give out the information that he wants to leave with you, and then just leave it go.
Right.
And by answering questions, he can get caught up with something, and he's afraid to. He doesn't have answers for one thing. And he's afraid he's going to get caught up in what he's saying, and it's not going to work. He's afraid of everything he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he won't admit it. See, Clinton didn't know what he was doing, and quite often he'd admit it. But Obama, I don't think he'll ever admit that he's done something wrong or that he's done something incorrect or that he's not done something or whatever. He's done it right every time. And you said that Clinton brought the economy to bear. It changed the economy and brought our debt down. He didn't do that. We had the Senate did that but he allowed them to do things.
Right. It was under his administration that the debt was brought down.
That's true.
Well, he did it himself. I think it was the Speaker of the House or somebody that did it. But whoever it was, it's under his watch that it happened.
I can't think of his name. I've been sitting here trying to think of his name. But you're right, it's Speaker of the House that did it.
Right. And that's the thing. And I can respect somebody. Unlike Obama thinks, you know, the president is not God. He's human. Yes, I know. I had to break that news. You know, you heard it here first. If you don't know, that's why you have a cabinet. That's why you have advisors. That's why you have, you know, I'm going to go back to Zimmerman's case. Did an advisor tell Obama that, yes, I think it would be very good for you to comment on this and say that if you had a son, it would look like Trayvon? Or did they advise him not to, and he just did it anyways?
I think he did it anyway. I don't believe he takes advice very well at all. He just goes ahead and does what he wants.
But as you said, as a people, of course, we have, except for our phone calls, we have no control over the federal government.
Except for our phone calls, what? They don't control the government. They don't.
No.
Even if we leave ideas or whatever. See, we could phone our local government and they could phone their local government and we could do it all but there's not enough people who are willing to get involved.
Well, even if there is, let's say you have 200,000 people or maybe larger call the representatives. Well, you know, the people on the phone, they go, okay, yeah, here's another one. It'll be forwarded on, and if it does get forwarded on, that, you know, it's still up to them to go, well, do I care?
If we had a million people who got upset at once and started calling and giving their opinion, it wouldn't take very long for the different people in the different offices in the Senate and House, once they started seeing these calls roll in, start catching on. And as soon as it got very big, heads would start to roll and things would start to happen. Because I believe that the people that we have in office, the senators and the representatives that we have in office, do have or would like to do things right, would like to do things that the people want, but nobody ever tells them. We don't make our wants or wishes known, good, bad, or indifferent. We just sit back and do like you and I are doing, complaining.
Right.
And we never let it happen. I personally have written to my representative a couple of times, not recently, because it wasn't a compliment. And if you write, even if you write to the president, you do get an answer. I don't know whether the president actually sees what you wrote or not is a good question. And I understand when you've got 250 million people that could conceivably write to you, it would be hard to read that.
Well, I agree. You know, and we don't want him sitting all day and going, well, Michelle, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know. We got 3,000 letters today. You want to tackle those?
Really?
But on the other side of the coin, what I've written before my representatives, and what really bugged the hell out of me, is that when I get a response back, and it's obviously a form letter, and it doesn't even talk about what I wrote about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I really feel insulted at that. I'd rather not have heard them anything back than to have got this form letter saying, well, thank you very much for being supportive, and by the way, and okay, what does that have to do with what I was concerned?
See, that's the thing. There's no way, okay, you and I wrote, or many people have written. We get a form letter back. We get a letter back that is very innocuous and doesn't address what you're talking about or anything. But do we want to pay for enough people to literally read our letter and answer?
Yeah.
Now, do we want to do that?
It's called a staff.
Right.
It's how we communicate with our quote-unquote representatives to follow or to get an opinion of what the people, you know, we the people, you know, remember that little thing, you know, are actually feeling. Because otherwise, you know, they're totally disconnected.
See, that's where I say we're not going to get anywhere until we have large numbers of people writing about the same thing. When we've got a bunch of people writing about a specific wrong or a specific right or whatever it happens to be, then we will have somebody answer those letters. and pay attention. But when everybody just has something to say to any leader, then it's not going to go anywhere because we don't have a staff big enough to go in and read all those and formulate an answer to them. And each number of people on the staff, if somebody answered all the letters coming in, it would be a gargantuan number and a huge amount of money to pay.
Well, they already got their phone make and everything, and it could just be very simple. They tally up, okay, like, are you in favor of going attacking Syria? Yes, no. And you forward that on a compilation. You do what? Now, we'll give the White House credit where credit's due. Of course, if I can't remember what the heck it's called, that petition the White House thing where they said that there's so many people that are willing to sign these little petitions that were introduced that the White House will answer them. Okay, that's great because that's getting – I mean, some of the petitions were kind of stupid. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
And has anyone gotten enough numbers to answer?
Yeah, there's been – the White House has answered a few of them. However, the ones that I haven't seen any answers on are like every state and union has made a motion to secede from the union, but Texas – far reaching way beyond the minimum requirement for a response. Then, of course, the White House chose not to respond to that. Although, what could they actually say? You know,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
It was Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was actually Texas.
Well, goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
I know that's terrible because I wouldn't mind saying Texas go. I see no redeeming factors in Texas, but I'm sure there are some somewhere. The thing is, if we have enough people writing about a specific subject, then the thing is, we've got to get them all to write to one place. We can't dilute that number by writing to your representative or you're this or you're that. They all have to go to one place so the massive number of those people is noticeable, and nobody has done that yet. You've got an awful lot of people to motivate, 250 million of them. That's hard to do, and even in knowing that some of them are children and are not going to write, let's say we have 150 million of them. That's still a lot of people, and we don't have the. Well, we do have the ability. We just don't have the incentive to do this in massive numbers that I have been able to see. Nobody's that involved in any specific thing.
Well, that's why I'm saying that the Obamacare issue, because it's one of those things that's going to affect the individuals themselves. You know, because usually anything the government does, the federal government. Yeah, I mean, like even the Syria thing. Okay, fine, we may be against getting into another war. But when you get right down to it, unless you are in the military, how does it really affect you and me? It doesn't.
Now, again, I there's so many different, I think, mistakes made with that Syrian thing. I mean, we're sitting back here vowing not to get involved personally, not to get involved actually, just to kind of sit back and hopefully what Obama says in this particular case, because he's speaking for, that people will listen to. They don't, and the rest of the world doesn't listen to that. Even our world, our country doesn't listen to it very much. But as far as paying attention to what Obama is saying and getting upset at him, we're not going to get upset at Obama because we know in a couple of years he's gone, period. And he can't come back. I mean, he can 4 years from now, but I don't think he's going to – I don't think he's going to have enough balls to do it. I mean, he's screwed up too much, and nobody would vote him back again, I don't think. And here I – Well, I'm going to say that. I don't think even if he ran again, he'd get elected to anything. So it's
short memories.
I know. It's scary. It really is, because he's still young.
Well, the thing is that's really bad is that, you know, it was great that in 2008 we decided to elect the first black president. And, you know, thinking that how it's kind of relations and everything.
Actually, it hasn't.
Exactly. It sent it back to the point that, well, in fact, there's a photo that maybe we should put on our website. I'll forward that on to you if you want it. And it's that, if I can find it again, it was comparing Bush and Obama with, when you made a joke about Bush, it was comedy. When you make a joke about Obama, it's racist.
Right. That's, yeah. I understand that, and that's it's too bad about our way of thought. We haven't come far enough yet to do this. We haven't come far enough yet to have a black president. I don't know if we've come far enough yet to have a female president.
Well, I tell you, I think people are going to be very hesitant about going.
Well, because, you know, it's, females have not even had the vote that long. So it's amazing. We've got to make some big changes, and it just takes time. That's one of the things the world has plenty of is time. And that's one of the things that we sometimes get impatient about, is not taking the time to do something about any given situation. But we just have to take the time to do it. And I think that's, you know, I think we should have, in my opinion, we should have put Hillary in there instead of Obama.
Mm.
That was the you do. Why is that? She couldn't have done any worse.
Isn't that what you said in 2008 about Obama?
No, I said he couldn't do it. How bad could he be? And now I know.
What can he do in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of time, 6 minutes remaining in the program, there's still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887, unless you just enjoy listening to us chit-chat, which apparently, you know, of course, the summer numbers are down anyways, but we usually get about 1,000 people a week that tune in to listen to us chit-chat, but we'd rather include you in the chit-chat during the program. So 646-721. If you're listening on the archives and do have an opinion, again, I encourage you, email talk@krbnradio.com.
And you can email after the program's over, and we'll mention that on the next program, because if you have an opinion that we did something wrong or did something stupid and I can't believe that we haven't got a lot of people who feel that way, that we did something wrong or something stupid or both.
Or that we're getting harder and harder to find on Blog Talk Radio, which is my opinion, but what do I know? We're only...
It's a kind of a hard thing to do. Mr. Obama, I think is just way over his head, way over his head. And at this particular point, he doesn't have to worry about it because he sees a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Because the tunnel, he's going to come out the other end of the tunnel and go on his merry separate way, no matter what. I think probably one of the reasons he's being allowing the Congress to come in on the things and to open it up and to do things maybe the way they're supposed to be, a little more the way they're supposed to be done, is because he wants people to think better of him, maybe. But I don't know if he really cares because I have a terrible.
I just hope that, because if he's wrong, the consequences of his actions are going to be a little bit more than just saying, well, I went ahead and launched drones and struck in Syria, but, you know, because they went ahead and fought back, they're racist.
Yeah, right. As a matter of fact, it doesn't make any difference because what he's considering doing is limited. And he's just talking about, you know, like I say, all of the things that he's considering doing, they've already retaliated. They've already taken the officials who are no longer in Syria, or they're no longer in the country. The airplanes are no longer in the country. I mean, everything has already been taken care of. And so it doesn't make much difference what he does. It's too late. It's not too little, too late. It's just too late, period. They've had a chance to I don't want to say retaliate, because they don't have to retaliate. They just have to displace everything, and no matter what he does, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, he can mess up a whole bunch of the airports, but they can rebuild those.
Right.
It doesn't even take long.
Some planes don't even need airports anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know that they have any of them, but that's true.
Well, they might. We might have sold it to them. Who knows?
Really? Really? Either that or we sold it to some other country and they've sold it to them.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I say, I just pray that he knows what he's doing, and that it doesn't come back to bite him, because if it comes back to bite him, it's going to come back to bite us. And despite how people don't want to get involved in politics, and they'd rather sit there, football or their American Idol or whatever, and just totally live in their little bubble wrap society, one of these days, you know, they're going to wake up and go, what happened? And, you know, all you can say is, well, people, you had your opportunity to get involved, you know, at least like Cliff said, a phone call or an email or a letter or something, and, you know, you're going to be a sheeple and you can't complain.
Well, we are all a bunch of sheep, I think, and we're going to have to sit back and maybe between now and next week we'll figure out what they can do to do something about it. But maybe we're sitting around on our dead button not doing anything either, so we'll see what happens. But meanwhile, we're out of time.
We are. And we'll be back again next Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Again, we invite you, send us an email if there's a topic you'd like to talk about. But otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Have a good day. Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.